Welcome to the first VAT update for 2014. Our intention is that we will issue a VAT update each month, and the next one will be due on the week commencing 17th February. But in this edition, we're going to look at six items, the first of which is confirmation that the next budget will be on the 19th of March 2014, a date for all our diaries. The second issue is a decision of the Upper Tribunal, which is legal precedent, and it concerned whether Finance and Business Training Limited could treat the training courses which it ran in association with the University of Wales as exempt from VAT. If it couldn't do this, then there would be an additional 20% VAT, and the cost to the students or the cost to the university would increase substantially. Now, financial business training is a business which provides educational services, but it also does many other things. And it hoped, just in relation to those educational services, to benefit from the exemption available under Item 1 of Group 6 of Schedule 9 to the VAT Act 1994. But we all know that in granting an exemption, the legislation must be strictly interpreted and construed. And in order to get the exemption, it has to establish that Finance and Business Training is an eligible body. So they had to look at the European Council Directive from 2006, and in particular Articles 131, 132 and 133, which gives details of the European exemption for certain forms of education provided by certain bodies. This is actually a case-leading decision because this issue hadn't been considered before, and it boils down to whether a body could treat part of its activities as being an eligible body activity and the remainder normally taxed. And the answer is that either a body is an eligible body or it's not. And in this case, Finance and Business Training was not a college or institution, even when it was working in conjunction with the University of Wales. So it wasn't an eligible body and it wasn't providing exempt services. So it must charge VAT in the training courses it runs, and that extra 20% will be a considerable extra cost to either the university or the students. Now, as usual, these podcasts are accompanied by fairly detailed notes, and the notes contain links should you wish to read further. HMRC have published their intention to recover any VAT that they had overpaid after HMRC lost at the Upper Tribunal in the case of the Rank Group, which concerned whether or not gaming machines were to be treated as exempt or standard rated. And HMRC have succeeded at the Court of Appeal, so they've published a brief 01/14, which sets out the background and publicises HMRC's intention to recover amounts which they might have overpaid following the loss they made at the Upper Tribunal. Also in the notes is a link to VAT Information Sheet 16/13, which gives details of the exchange rates for non-EU suppliers of electronic services who are required to register an account for VAT on supplies made to the UK. Staying with this international link, HMRC have withdrawn the old Notice 707 for the VAT Personal Export Scheme for cars supplied in the UK free of VAT that are to be exported to a destination out the European Union. They've published a new one, and it's well worth a read if you know of any clients intending to go abroad and meet the conditions of taking the car outside the EU. But I close today with a case which is about what's fair and what's right and wrong. And the case is Our Communications Limited, which concerned a company which made monthly repayments. But in addition to the monthly return it lodged, it supplemented this with a letter claiming an additional £1.48 million. HMRC weren't happy with the claims, and so they selected three consecutive months in January, February and March 2006, and eventually it went before the VAT Tribunal, which decided in December 2008 that the company was right and it was entitled to recover the VAT which it had claimed. Now, HMRC then took until March 2009, which is more than the statutory 30-day limit within Section 79 VAT Act 1994, and so it had to pay repayment supplement of 5% in respect of the claims which it had received in January, February and March by way of the normal monthly return 2006. But they refused to pay repayment supplement in respect of the £1,488,006.74, which had been claimed in the letter of 3rd March by the company, and which was rightly due back to that company. Now, there's a fairness and there's a right and a wrong, and the intention of the repayment supplement was a spur to efficiency of HMRC. And yet here we've got an example where they've had the money for 3 years, and having lost at the tribunal, they have then taken more than 30 days to make the repayment. They've been inefficient. So the intention of the legislation was that they should make repayment supplement. But in this case, the tribunal, the upper tribunal, has accepted that it is implicit in the nature of the legislation that it should only be available on a claim made in a VAT return. Now that's a big, big move in statutory interpretation, because the old rules of statutory interpretation used to provide that anything had to be strictly construed, and you implied nothing, you read nothing in. You intended nothing. You looked at what is said clearly, and that was the law. And yet here we've got a court denying a company what would be fair, what would be morally right, being repayment supplement on money that HMRC have had for 3 years. And yet the tribunal ruled against the company, and it's not getting the repayment supplement. It's an interesting read. You might think that that's an unfair decision, but it's a new interpretation of the law and something you need to be aware of. If you are making repayment claims, you've got to put it into a VAT return. I hope that you found it interesting. The next VAT podcast will be on the 7th, for the week commencing 17th of February. Thanks for listening.